All right, everyone, thanks for listening in. This is Golden Bold, your voice of Laurier Sports. Thanks for joining us on this nice, crisp Friday afternoon here in the heart of Waterloo. We're in the Radio Laurier studio here on the Waterloo campus of the Wilfrid Laurier University. My name's Ian Bailey. I'm sports manager here for the radio station. And both to my left, I'm joined by Kevin Johnson and Zach
Nepomuceno.
I didn't want to try that. All right, Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. Zach, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Excited to get started.
Awesome. Of course, this is Zach's first time on the show. So
yes, sir.
Big ups to Zach. Kevin's been here before. He was here last year, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so how this show will work is we'll just kind of cover Laurier sports. We'll cover professional sports. Typically, somewhere along the line, there'll be an interest peak, and we'll start discussing something completely off topic, but it's always fun. Let's go for about 50 minutes, an hour, so hang tight with us. I'm glad you are coming in and joining us. I'll start off with with the Laurier football team. I know Zach's been covering the football team, too. Of course, the football team, number one ranked national. U Sports, that's not provincial, that's national. That's out of all the universities competing in men's football. Your Laurier Golden Hawks are number one at 6-0, looking to make it 7-0 tonight against the Windsor Lancers at Alumni Stadium in Windsor. How did the last game go for the Golden Hawks?
They put up a 50-burger. It looked really good against Queens.
Yeah, against Queens. That was 51-21.
That's right.
Mm, damn.
30 points.
30 points.
30 points against Queens. And Queens is also on the national ranking, of course, just to lay that ranking down on you here. Of course, your Laurier Golden Hawks here, the stars of campus. Left football team 6-0. They're number one ranked nationally. Of course, second and third are both out of Quebec, Montreal, and Laval. Montreal at 5-1, Laval at 5-0. Fourth national rank, that's Western. Grr. Fifth, it's Bishops. I think that's in Sherbrooke, also in Quebec. Sixth is Windsor, who they're facing tonight. So Windsor also has a fairly strong football program down there. So if you're looking for good football, tune in to 7 p.m. tonight on LUA TV to watch the Lancers take on the Golden Hawks. Seventh ranked, taking it to the West Coast, UBC, University of British Columbia at 4-2. Eighth, we bring it back to Ontario for Guelph. Grr, 5-2. We don't like Guelph. Ninth is UMann, Manitoba, in the heart of the prairies at 5-1. And last but not least, we're back in Ontario for Queens. Grr, we don't like Queens. But they're ranked 10th nationally. But of course, who's better than all of them? The Golden Hawks.
Of course.
At number one. Of course, let me throw in the notes here. Where were they? Oh, Players of the Week. The Players of the Week for the last... the last game, of course, last Saturday, they won against Queens, the Gales, 51-21. The Offensive Player of the Week of who else but the reigning LUA MVP, Taylor Algersma. Who else? He's been on a rocket since last year. You guys heard about Taylor, right?
Yeah, most efficient quarterback in the LUA.
Most efficient. I think he's first in passing yards and all.
Yeah, he put up 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions last game.
That's insane, of course. Basically leading the team to that 51-point
for sure
threshold last week. Of course, on the defensive end, Jesse Wilkins was the player of the week on the defensive side. And special teams with Amalia Cole, which is team-high 6 solo tackles on Saturday. Any other players you want to highlight, Zach?
Man, Taylor.
I know, right? He's actually
good, man.
Mm-hmm. Again, I was commentating hockey, and even commentating hockey last week, we started talking about Taylor Algersma in the season he's had last year and this year. He's just... One of the strongest athletes in all of U Sports, regardless of the sport.
Yeah, he bounced back from the last couple games where he had kind of a 1-1 touchdown interception ratio, but he cleaned it up this past game. And yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight seeing what he does.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. He's turning Laurier football into must watch TV.
For sure.
Yeah.
Of course. The basketball team, I'll throw that to. Kevin to my left, of course, haven't started their season yet, but they're in the preseason, Kevin.
So actually, they're actually unbeaten right now in the preseason.
Wow.
Their last game actually against Okanagan, 88-82, going to overtime, actually. Also, I want to say a huge congratulations to Coach Suresh, actually, at the Laurier men's basketball program. He actually got a position at the Raptors 905 as assistant coach as well.
That's huge.
So big ups to him, and also the new interim coach as well. You know, good luck to him for his next season, you know. Great Laurier program actually last year, you know. Didn't really go the way we wanted to go in the playoffs as well. Tay Donald, star point guard of the Laurier men's basketball team. Big ups for him as well. He had a nice season in CBA actually. drafted 16th overall in the second round.
Not bad.
So hopefully that experience kind of translates into this game for this season as well.
Of course, it's tough to, with that interim head coach. I know that that coach announcements to go down to the Raptors farm system, that only came in like late August.
Late August, yeah.
So just kind of step in right as the preseason starts, mm-hmm. and while camp's kind of ending, to go in there and have such a strong preseason under this new coach is quite an ordeal.
Yeah, I was literally scrolling through Instagram just one night, just bored, and then I just see that. I was like, wait, that's Coach Zuress.
Oh, hold up.
I was like, hold on, wait, that's Coach Zuress.
scroll back up.
Like, I literally covered your games and stuff last year, and I was like, damn. Like,
it's always cool, yeah. Like, this opportunity with the sports team, not to pipe the sports team or anything. Yeah. But there are, like, certain players in the LUA system, certain coaches, certain management that you get to cover and meet, and you get to tell other people, mm-hmm. like, oh, wait, yeah, I cover them. I've been a foot away from them, or I've talked to them in passing, mm-hmm. passing them in the hallways, passing them on the court when I'm commentating.
Yeah,
it's like, really cool.
It's very nice to see, you know, and especially the men's basketball team as well. Like, whenever I really just go to AC, just get a quick workout, and those guys always in there every single day, all together, just putting that work in, you know, just for hours on hours straight.
And I know last year I was commentating the men's hockey playoffs, and they're against UFT. And of course, it's the closest to a celebrity, athlete that I've called. But Jet Alexander was the goaltender from the UFT games. He got lit up by Laurier, actually. But of course, Jet Alexander appeared in the NHL for about five minutes of a period in a Leafs game. Because he was emergency backup because their backup was injured, mm-hmm. and he went to UFT. So it's like, all right, we'll just pick, because he's in the same city, mm-hmm. we'll pick him. And they were beating, the Leafs were beating the Canadians like by a healthy margin, probably like a 6-1, 5-1, 7-1 win or lead. So last 5 minutes, they threw in Jet Alexander. So I could tell everyone, like, I called it a former NHLer. And it was Zach, you're new to the commentating squad this year. What sport are you most interested in calling? I mean, we only cover two sports, so.
Yeah. I believe I'm calling next month 3 men's basketball games.
Nice.
Okay. I'm excited for that.
And, of course, tonight.
And tonight, I'm covering women's hockey.
The women's home opener, of course, the women's ice hockey team. 3-4 preseason so far. In fact, they capped the preseason off. They went 0-4 to start the preseason. It's a 7-game preseason. The last 3 games, they've won. And they're all away wins, too. They haven't won at home yet in the preseason. Of course, their home opener, the start of the regular season, is tonight. Of course, they're against the Windsor Lancers. And, I was just looking at my notes here. They beat the Brock Badgers 2-0. They beat the Guelph Griffins last week 3-2. And just recently, their most recent preseason win, and to close out the preseason on top, they beat Ontario Tech out of Oshawa 3-2. The men's hockey, on the other hand, they're 1-1-1. Their seasons have already started. They lost last night against the TMU, 0-3, didn't even score a goal, got shut out. That was a home game that Burnivan covered for us, Waterloo Memorial Recreational Complex, which is also location of tonight's women's hockey opener. So we've got some Laurier action going on tonight, of course. If you find yourself in Windsor, make sure to check out the Golden Hawks football team, number one nationally ranked. And if you wonder what you do tonight, don't have any plans, head on to the Memorial Rec Complex, catch the women's hockey ice opener. It's always a good game. I enjoy covering the women's hockey. It's always very skilled and very women's hockey versus men's hockey. Men's hockey, you know, it's much more dominant, like, physically. But women's hockey doesn't have that, so they make up for it in, like, skill, which is always interesting to see. I know. And the women's basketball hasn't started yet, Kevin, either.
Yeah, women's and men's actually both starting November 1st. I'm going to actually be doing some of the play-by-play for the first men's home opener as well.
Yeah, it's
Ottawa,
which is
well.
Really cool.
It's really cool. That last year, I haven't actually got a chance to do play-by-play. Oh. I did college commentary. I know Connor, one of our members from Radio Laurier as well, did a couple of them actually. So it's a great experience, you know, kind of get in, you know, just kind of feel it out as well.
Yeah, play-by-play is a different animal. I almost find it, I've done play-by-play like once or twice, and it was like actually like embarrassing how poorly it was actually like amusing. Like, if you wanted entertainments. Because, like, I don't have a filter, and I'll just say things I shouldn't say, essentially. So it was entertaining in that regard, but if you're looking for, like, actually, like, competent, skilled play-by-play, that was not what I was doing. But play-by-play, it's, you know, it's just, like, just describing the game.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Color, you have to offer, like, some insight. Mm-hmm. Play-by-play is just what you see is what you're hearing.
Like, colors, like, last year, I usually just cover. I was, like, the stats guy, you know? Yeah. I'd be like, oh, like, this guy's averaging, like, 14 points in the third quarter. Or he's like 40% on field goal percentage, for example, right?
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, And now play-by-play, it's like I need to be talking, I need to be calling every single pass, every single rebound.
Yeah, thing is, that, yeah, you're the voice that's on for 75% of the time.
Exactly. Like, I watch a lot of Toronto Raptors games, and, you know, just seeing that, and I'm just like, damn, can I, like, I need to be able to do that for four quarters straight.
Actually. Yeah, it'll be interesting, I know. I can never play, but I've colored basketball before. I've never been a huge basketball. I played basketball in, like, elementary school. That's my, like, peak basketball knowledge. So I could never imagine doing play-by-play. The only thing I know, and one, that's all I know.
Dang.
That's a bomb. And all that, those catchphrases that, I don't know what they mean. But other campus sports, I remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking about the softball team, who was like 11-1 at the time. So I don't know what their record is now, but there's a lot of sports that aren't essentially covered on LUA or covered on, that we stream on the station. But there's a lot of sports offered here on this campus.
Yeah, I wanted to also mention men's soccer, actually. They clinched the playoff spot recently with the defeat against Windsor, actually.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think actually, I got a message that we might actually be covering that game. Mm-hmm. If we need a call or commentator, and we might cover it on the station, too. So stay tuned. I think that's a Saturday, their playoff game. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. You might hear some men's soccer action on the radio station for the first time in however long I've been here. So that's exciting. And I know, moving on from campus sports, we'll cover some professional sports. The NBA preseason is underway. The MLB playoffs are underway. The NFL is still going early on in their season. Zach, what can you tell us about the NFL?
NFL? We got some big surprises in the NFL. MVP frontrunner Sam Darnold. Whoa. I never thought I would be saying that in my life. Career backup Sam Darnold lighting it up with the Vikings. And as a Packer fan, that hurts my heart to say. But yeah, he is, it's a laser show every time he's on the field. I remember a couple weeks ago when they're playing the Packers, he put a dot on Justin Jefferson over Keyshawn Nixon. And it was, Justin Jefferson did not even need to move his hands. It was right in the pocket. And I just thought, wow, like, how did he not succeed with the Jets after a throw like that? Yeah. Maybe it's just because the Jets really suck. Speaking of the Jets, Robert Saleh, head coach, recently fired.
Oh.
And man, it's a mess over there, man. It's a mess with the Jets.
Why do you think he was fired? Just not performing well, eh?
I think it was a bad firing. I think it was
So you wanted him to stay on?
Yeah. If I was a Jets fan, I would be very like upset with this because while yes, they are 2-3. But the main strength of that defense is, the main strength of that team is their defense. And Robert Saleh built that defense from the ground up, and he's the reason that they're successful. Everybody knows he has a background as a defensive coordinator with San Fran in their most like dominant years with their defense with Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, and he brought that same energy over to their defense. The main problem with that team is their offensive play calling. Nathaniel Hackett is a fraud. Offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett is a fraud. He should have got the boot and not Robert Saleh. And the fact that they had the audacity to kick him out of the team facility before he could address the team on his way out.
Oh, wow.
It just speaks to the state of that franchise, to all the Jets fans out there, I am sorry that you have to put up with this for years and years on end.
There's been a trend, it seems like, in the past couple of years of a poor management of franchise. We've seen MLB and, of course, mm-hmm. Oakland Athletics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man.
We saw it in NHL with the Phoenix, now the Arizona Coyotes, now the Utah Hockey Club. That's wild. Mm-hmm. So there's been a trend of these really, you know, these billionaire sports owners.
Yeah.
I would argue the Blue Jays are also up there with Shapiro and Akers.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
Rogers ownership.
I know, Rogers exactly. Ownership. And it looks like... I think it was a quote or a tweet I read. It looks like Akin and Shapiro are staying on for another season. Now, I don't think it's confirmed, but I think it was like some press conference where they said they have no intention of moving on from them.
Wow.
Which is, I don't know what your guys' opinions are on that.
That's disheartening. Disheartening to hear.
Yeah, it's not good. The Jays this year, aside from Vladimir Guerrero's, frankly, absurd second half, there really was nothing to write home about. And they haven't won a playoff game. They've only been in the wild card series.
Yeah.
If they made the playoffs since the 2016, I think 17 season, when they made it into a conference. That was Josh Donaldson and the Batista and the Encarnacion era.
That was a great run.
That's nostalgic for me. That's almost 10 years ago now.
That's an unfathomable
backflip moment, too.
Oh, yeah, iconic.
The wild card game, Encarnacion walk off. Puts the arms up to the side.
Dude, baseball kind of gets hype sometimes the team's good, but the team, frankly, isn't that good.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, or stained, whatever music reference that was. But I was going to say, it was like, since it's the wild, they haven't won a wild card game. They haven't even been in like the real playoffs since those since the Donaldson runs.
Yeah.
They've only been in the wild card games, and they haven't won one of the wild card games yet. They've been like out-batted, out-scored, out-coached, out-played, out-offensed, out-defensed, out-pitched, out-back-catched. It's just, it's wild. And for them to keep going on with Atkins Shapiro when they've proven time and time again over the past 5, 6, 7 years that they cannot put together a winning squad on the field.
Like 4 or 5 years ago in 2019, 2020, I remember there being so much hope around this core. In that COVID season, we were like on the brink of the playoffs. We went, I think we had a 90-win season and just missed out on the playoffs. But like, it was so hopeful around that core of Biggio and Guerrero, Bichette, and 5 years later, nothing's changed. Like, these guys are hitting their prime, and we're still stuck in the mud. We made big splashes in free agency with George Springer, Ryu, and
Ohtani. Oh wait, that was fun
for that 5 minutes that we thought we got him tracking the plane.
Yep.
But yeah, like. Ah, it's a mess, man.
Yeah, and like you talk about 4 or 5 years ago, and like that's when they were young, and that's they were doing well, and that's so much hype about the team because they were doing good when they were not supposed to be doing good because they're rebuilding. They're a young team, and they exceeded expectations. Now they have those expectations. Now they're not so young anymore. Now we're not expecting them just to be a young franchise. We're expecting them to make the playoffs. And now when they have that expectation, they can't pull it together. Now Bichette has injury history, and Guerrero had an abysmal start to the season, and Biggio's, you know, gone and doing whatever. So it's tough to be a Blue Jays fan. And you mentioned the Rogers ownership, and it seems like more corporations are kind of buying out these professional sports franchises.
Yeah. And these guys, that core, that once young core that's like now hitting their prime, these guys are due for extension. So I don't know. Do we want to stick with this core?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got it done, but you could also argue they haven't got it done because they just don't have a good supporting cast, and that falls on the management to not build a good supporting cast around them. But then you could argue they have a decent, like, they don't have an awful supporting cast. They don't have, like, again, obviously they don't have a playoff team supporting cast or anything, but they did try to put a team together. So do you blame it on the management for not putting on a better team around them, or do you blame it on the players for not succeeding when it's time to succeed?
That's a great point, because like, the moves that we have made, that like, they have been at least mildly successful, like the signing of Chris Bassett. He's been a solid rotation piece. Gausman was like a Cy Young front runner for however long. And I don't know where to go for now for the Jays.
Yeah, where do you go?
Where do you go?
It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. I know, Kevin, you're a big basketball guy. Has the preseason started for NBA yet?
It has, actually. You know, I usually try to keep with the Raptors a lot. They actually won their last game against the Wizards. A lot's been going on in basketball. A lot of blockbuster trades, I know.
That cat trade.
Personally, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo in Minnesota for Cat.
Yeah, that spacing in Minnesota kind of gets, like, screwed up because I think Cat was, like, such a great supporting, like, at least as a number two option.
Yeah,
I don't know how Julius Randle fits in that lineup, quite frankly.
Personally, I don't think Julius Randle will have that much chemistry with Anthony Edwards, of course. And personally, that shooting was already there with Cat either way. I don't think they needed Dante DiVincenzo either way.
Yeah.
But concerning New York, actually, they actually had an injury in Mitchell Robinson when they centered.
Right?
So I'm pretty sure they made that trade so they can get another center in as well. Yeah. And, you know, Russell Westbrook to Denver Nuggets. And, you know, surprisingly enough, second round draft, Bronny James.
Bronny James.
What are your thoughts on that?
Little LeBron.
Hot take, but I don't think he's ready.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready for the NBA personally.
I think G League. I think, in my opinion, we've been too critical of a second round pick here because let's be honest, the pop rate of like second round picks is not that high. Name like, if I ask you to name like significant second round players to come out of the draft, other than like Nikola Jokic, like the list would be pretty short. So I think drafting a player to keep like your star LeBron happy, I think that's like a solid investment, because I don't think like the opportunity cost of drafting some other guy who you may deem quote unquote more worthy than LeBron James, I think like the benefit would be marginal compared to like a guy that will keep your star player happy.
True, and I think it is inevitable we will see the LeBron and Bronny
for sure
on the NBA court at some point.
Yeah, we already seen him actually on like in action a couple days ago on preseason. Personally, I've seen a lot more coverage of Bronny James than the actual number one pick for this draft, which is weird to me because, well, first of all, just because you're LeBron James' son does not mean, you know, that you should be getting that coverage either way. I mean, personally, like, he did have a cardiac arrest during his college year as well, which you have to understand, but
Seems somewhat major.
Somewhat major, yeah, but personally, I think there's other guys who probably average way more than him and that college year as well, who could have deserved that spot in the NBA.
But basketball, like, it's a sport of personality. It's a sport of characters. Mm-hmm. It's a sport of marketing. Mm-hmm. So Bronny being on the same team as LeBron, maybe he, you know, and you know, his stats and his play doesn't back up the perhaps, or doesn't, you know, arguably doesn't back up the hype or the draft pick, but it's the NBA. It's the most well-marketed sport. It's the sport with the most personality. Mm-hmm. So I think it, you know, he might have that spot over someone more talented, but in terms of like the business side, I think it's a good move.
Yeah, sports media is about clicks.
Yeah, it's a good investment. Yeah, personally, also like, as you mentioned, to keep LeBron James happy in LA as well.
The fact that he's still going at this level.
That's in
22nd year too. Yeah. This guy's still going.
This person's been in league since I've been born.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
It's actually before I've been born.
Before I've been born, I think. When did he start? What year do you think?
2003.
2003. Okay. Yeah. I was born in 2003. So yeah, exactly. When I was born out of my mother's womb, LeBron.
Your entire
James.
Life, LeBron has been dominating the league. Man.
As soon as he leaves, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Like, he's been a constant.
Exactly.
In the NBA, he's been the face of the NBA for 20 years.
Through the entire ups and downs of my life, LeBron was there.
How many more years do you guys think he will be?
Do you think he's going to play with Bryce? Do you think he's going to stick around for Bryce?
How old is he again? How old is LeBron?
LeBron, like, I think 39.
Sounds about right.
39.
I'm going to say 30, yeah.
I mean,
he got drafted at 18, that's correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah, nearing 40.
Bryce is, what, 17?
I believe so. I believe he's a senior now.
Senior
high school.
Personally, I mean, if he has left in a tank for at least two more years, and he can at least get that 1 year of college experience.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Because he did always say that he wanted to play both Bronny and Bryce, I would say.
Oh, did he say that?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. But honestly, I mean, I think he still has it in the tank. 22 years is still going at this age, you know, all-star level as well.
Yeah, he's turning 40 in December. So, yeah, he's 39 right now. Wow. Turns 40
crazy.
In December. And, yeah, last year he averaged still, like, 26 points.
Exactly. I think we take LeBron for granted so much, man.
It's actually, I know, and like, he's kind of come, like, you know, he's kind of, you know, it's amusing to talk about LeBron, but we don't actually appreciate the seriousness of the absurd athletic performance he's put on for the better part of 20 years.
Unseen before,
And do you think LeBron is the greatest of all time?
I would say
100%,
100%.
I would
say so, yes.
He's always adding to his mantle, and especially last season as well. They brought the new in-season tournament in NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, first team I won it, LA Lakers. Mm-hmm. LA Lakers, hands down.
I understand the argument, especially of, you know, the old head fans and the people who, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which was also probably top five player of all time.
Yeah, of course.
And Michael Jordan and you know, Larry Bird and all those greats. But how do you make the argument against LeBron?
Yeah.
You can.
Mm-hmm. We've never seen this level of consistency over, like, now, you know, over 20 years. He carried, like, in the early part of his career, like, subpar Cleveland Cavalier teams. And then, like, he went to Miami for the super team. Sure. But, it's just consistent success. Like, he, in my opinion, he's, like, kind of three Hall of Fame careers in one. with the Heat, with the Cavs, and then with the Lakers. He has
three primes right there.
Three primes.
Three primes for the guy.
And think of like any other sport too. Who has exhibited that type of dominance in any sport? Like think maybe hockey. Everyone says Gretzky.
Yeah.
And while Gretzky is of course greatest of all time in hockey, he also only had a 20-year career in the last, 6-7 years of the career post LA Kings. While he was still dominant and was a dead puck era, sort of less scoring, but he was still like he wasn't at the top of the league the way LeBron has been.
The only one I can really think of is Tom Brady.
Yeah,
Tom Brady. Oh, yeah, I guess NFL. Yeah. Tom Brady.
The 20-year dynasty.
Yeah, well, how many rings do you have? Seven?
Six.
Six.
Six. Wait.
No, you're probably right.
Ooh, wait.
No.
I don't remember if that Buccaneers ring was six or seven.
Kevin's on a quick search on that.
Even
like baseball, I'm trying to think. I mean, like Babe Ruth.
In terms of longevity, I don't think
longevity?
So.
Like
seven
Jeter?
Rings.
Like, I don't know.
So seven rings?
Seven rings.
Oh,
seven
let's
rings.
Go.
Seven That's rings. Crazy, man.
Wait. Oh, wait. Seven rings. I was right. That is hype. I'm trying to think of baseball longevity, too. And baseball also, like, think of like NFL, it's rare to have a career as long as Brady did. So for longevity, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because especially, like I think the majority of NFL careers, or the average or median of NFL careers are like 3 years.
Yeah.
Because it's just a physically demanding sport.
Yeah. And there's a lot of turnover in the NFL, too.
Yeah.
Like, primes don't last as long, especially for like more physical positions like running backs. I think they're out of their prime before they even hit 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, like, there was a recent thing where it was a big thing in the media about the running back contract market coming out of their rookie contracts is that running backs weren't able, like their agents weren't able to get money for their guys because people, like I think management start to see running backs as like, since they don't have like a big shelf life, they're not as valuable and they're more replaceable than other positions. So they found that it's a better investment to put into other positions with better longevity, like maybe a cornerback or a wide receiver or a quarterback that's going to last you longer. And the difference between a great running back and a good running back is kind of marginal. So that was just an interesting situation to see play out when running backs weren't able to, like even big star running backs like Saquon Barkley, for example, like they're probably not getting paid as much as their talent indicates.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. And the length of careers is also interesting to know, like hockey, you can be a fourth liner plug and have a 2-year NHL career, or you could be a star defenseman. Like I think Nick Lidstrom and Steve Yzerman both had like 22, 23 year long careers and they're still at the top of the game when they retired. Mm-hmm. They were just getting old and wanted to golf more essentially. They could still, Nicholas Lidstrom he's probably 50 now, could clue into a game right now and still dominate, get a goal and two assists every game and get a Norris by the end of the season. So a lot of hockey players, like, it's because, hockey is a very physically demanding sport. But I think, football, especially those just physically, it's so demanding on the body that it's hard to have a long career.
Yeah.
Especially injuries, too, especially hockey as well, injuries in hockey.
Yeah, I think NFL, too. And, of course, the new stuff coming out of injuries and, of course, CTE and the conversation about that and how you see these NFL players, like, post-career. Mm-hmm. And they're struggling with their health a bit.
That's why they introduced you seen the Guardian caps?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They look a little funky, but...
I mean, it's for safety, right?
It's for safety. Like, I just hate seeing people, like, make fun of the players, like, oh, I'd never wear this. Well, your brain is not getting mashed like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I know, right?
So.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing. I think, again, to bring it back to hockey, that's the sport I'm most familiar with. That you saw that same time when visors were introduced. Uh-huh. And now it's like, it makes sense to wear a visor, so you don't lose an eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everyone's like, you won't catch me wearing that back in my day.
Yeah.
I think they introduced helmets in like the early 80s, maybe the mid 80s. And like, of course, everyone in the day is like, you won't catch me wearing a helmet. I mean, you're playing hockey. Are you insane?
Yeah, yeah.
Now hockeys are mandated everywhere. Helmets are mandated everywhere. And it's just common sense
and
to wear a helmet.
The throat guards.
The throat guards started, of course, last year with that tragedy with Adam Johnson. So there's a lot more equipment getting, introduced, which is good for the safety. But they always have these like dumb fans. And of course, the Twitter, people is always like, oh, you won't catch me wearing that. It's like,
you pansies.
I know, right? back in my day, men were men.
But I'd like to, if I was a player, I'd like to be able to form a full sentence after retirement.
You think that'd be good? I'd be able to give an interview or two, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the MMA fighters, interviews at the start of the career versus like interviews at like the end of their career.
I don't imagine the pain they go through in that sport and the effect on their bodies. You're getting paid. Yeah. So it's like this incredible financial incentive to just throw your body on the line and try to beat someone up while they're trying to beat you up.
Yeah.
Just complete, just blunt force trauma.
Yeah. It was actually a thing with the UFC fighters, like they're not getting paid. I think there was like some lawsuits or something. It was a big controversy. Like, they compared to maybe boxing, where boxers get paid like really, really handsomely, but UFC fighters weren't getting paid for their services, like, as well.
Do you guys watch the Alex Pereira fight last week, or?
I heard about it.
I never actually ended up watching it. How'd that go?
I didn't actually end up watching. I only watched a little bit of that, actually, because I actually went out, but, you know.
That'd be.
Let me see here. Round four TKO.
Ah, yeah. There you go. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all.
And you guys follow MMA or UFC much?
Sometimes.
I never got really into it. It's always something like a lot of other people our age are into. It's been growing a lot. So I always think, I'll actually sit down and watch it. And I never actually do. But it is interesting. Mm. But maybe it's like my apprehension to just like brain damage. I don't know.
Another thing, like UFC is still growing because it's still relatively new. Like it's only maybe 20 something years old compared to like all the other leagues that have been around since the 40s and everything. But yeah, like it's still growing. Like there's still some like fights you can find where they're wearing like gis and stuff.
Yeah.
They're wearing shoes. So like it's still new. Like in terms of like GOAT conversations, you're only really covering like 20 years worth of history.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like every new guy that's coming out is like he could be the next GOAT. Like it's not ridiculous to say. Like Alex Pereira, for example, he's like probably the light heavyweight GOAT now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he's had title defenses and everything.
It's easier conversation to have, like discussing the greats when you don't have 100 years of history to go through, and you're mentioning all these like random like names from the 30s and all like NFL and MLB and you know, have all been around for 100 years. NHL,
like there's no old heads to argue with because we are
true,
the old heads.
True, yeah, you're
like,
right.
There's only two names like you really think of when you think of fighting, like Khabib, McGregor,
John Jones, Mighty Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you get across different weight classes, so
it's harder to judge pound for pound. It's harder to like, you know, broaden and say who is like definitively, but in the weight class, it's easier because they're competing within the weight class.
And usually they're fighting each other, so
you can just point to a fight,
say he beat him.
Yeah, you kind of say, okay, oh, he beat him, who beat him, who beat him. So naturally, that guy probably is pretty good.
But for like a team sport, it's hard to say because you could just say like if there was a head-to-head matchup, oh, his team sold him. Oh, his team carried him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, oh, well, he had a better cast, or he was carrying his team, so he makes it better.
There's so many more variables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always challenging, of course. And of course, you talk about, you mentioned the old heads, just like, they mention like names you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
I think back in the 30s, you know, it's like, oh, do you think like the baseball go is? Or like, oh, well, right now, you know, I think Ohtani is putting up a good argument for it. Oh, well, back in the 30s, you know, from Urinal, Nebraska was like Lightning McQueen. And he got two home runs at the same at-bat. And you're like, oh, well, never mind that.
You don't know about Chubby Jackson.
Those have the weird names, too, eh? Yeah. They always have just, like, oatmeal mug. And you're like, what? Is that a name?
Who?
Yeah.
And, of course, NHL season, of course, has gotten underway, of course. Early on the season, 20 teams have played one or two games at max. Of course, the Canadian teams, so I'll go through a run through real quick. Of course, Sens are 1-0. Leafs are 1-1. Of course, they got shut out against Montreal at their season opener, then beat the Devils. Canadians, of course, 1-1. The Jets, strong start season, 2-0. That's the only 2-0 Canadian team, the Winnipeg Jets. Flames are 1-0. Of course, they beat the Canucks, who are 0-1, in a thrilling comeback where the Canucks had a 4-1 lead, and then the Flames had a 5-4 lead in the last minute. The Canucks tied it up, and Flames won in overtime. It was a roller coaster to watch. Flames are my personal team. Don't make fun of me. And then the Oilers, of course, came so close last year. They're 0-1 to start the season this year, but that was heartbreaking, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm not a big hockey fan, but like that comeback actually got me to tune in for Game 7.
I thought it was going to be a sweep. I think, the Panthers had three and you know, it's a 7-game series, 3-0 lead for the first three games. And I'm like, all right, it's over. Yeah. That was fun. That was a good moment. Let's go home.
Good run, guys. Good run.
That was good. McDavid, haha, you're never coming back here. All right, you're getting swept by the Panthers. Panthers own you. And then suddenly game seven, I'm like, whoa, hold up.
Yeah.
It was actually, of course, I watched all the games, but it actually made it exciting. And you actually had a, an opportunity to think that they were actually going to overcome the 3-0 lead. Yeah. Game seven, they were dominant games 4, 5, 6. Florida's goalie got pulled.
Yeah, all that stuff.
And so, like, they were dominant games 4, 5, 6. They're riding all this momentum to game seven, crash, burn, see you later. It was brutal to watch. I remember we went out to watch that game too, me and my friends.
Yeah.
And it was just like the defeat and everyone in like the venue or, you know, the thing. It was just palpable. It was actually like the just Canadians collectively just downtrodden for weeks on end.
Yeah, those the end of that game was so intense. I think that McDavid line was out for like 3 minutes.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always, again, you talk about the Oilers, we talk about different teams like, you know, poor setting up. The Oilers, of course, they get blessed with McDavid, who is keeps up at, you know, his career ends the way you expect it to do. He's probably in conversation as a top five player of all time. And then, like, they also have Draisaitl, who is also really good. Nugent Hopkins is pretty good. Evander Kane's pretty good.
Didn't Draisaitl win a Hart?
I think, Art Ross or something like that, one of the trophies. Yeah, so, yeah, he's, again, maybe overshadowed by McDavid. Draisaitl was on his own team. He'd probably get as much attention, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, their goaltending and their defense just was not up to snuff. And so it's tough where, like, you don't want to, you know, you're blessed with a generational athlete, but you're still tasked with making a decent team around him. And that can be challenging. It seems pretty easy, but obviously, you know, we're just sitting here criticizing them. But general managers, that's a tough task. It and obviously, not many can actually do it. So it goes to show this the challenge they have.
And when you have two top five players, another problem is paying them.
Yes, the contracts will be up.
Still having room to, like, find other players.
That's the thing with the NHL. Of course, the hockey has salary cap. NFL doesn't. Yeah. NBA.
Oh, NFL
NBA
does. NFL has cap. I think one that doesn't have cap is MLB.
I know MLB has a luxury task. I think luxury tax. So they don't really have salary cap. I think NBA has a soft. Is it a hard or soft cap?
It's not a hard.
It's hard cap? It's
sometimes hard cap.
They have a lot of exemptions, though.
Yeah.
Like the bird rights,
where
it incentivizes you to, like, re-sign your players rather than free agency.
Yeah, NBA has a bunch of weird
exemptions.
Strange,
unwritten rules,
NFL, there's a lot, like, there's so many, like, star players that get cut, like, in the offseason because they just don't make the cap work.
Yeah, it's a rough, especially as, like, all these owners. I guess it's kind of good because you see in the MLB, and they've evened it out with, like, the draft and class 50 draft and all these different, like, free agency and waiver rules, trying to make it easier. But again, with the luxury tax, if you just have an owner who's okay paying that extra little bit of money, then you can just build super teams. You know, historically, the Yankees always, you know, because they're one of the most valuable franchises, all these really valuable franchises, Yankees, you know, Mets, you saw the Dodgers with Ohtani signing.
Yeah.
They can afford, they have owners who are willing to spend the money. And so for, like, smaller markets to compete, it's challenging because they just don't have the pockets to fund. So they have to be a bit more, you know, analytical and clinical. And then some also just have poor management who refuse to spend money.
Yeah.
Hi, Oakland, how are you doing?
Yeah. And then there's the NBA lady throwing out millions for, like, some G League or two-way player out here. And you got NFL cutting superstars, like you said, as well.
NBA, it's also strange because, like, of the major four sports, you know, you have MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL. And NHL is by far the least, it's still major, but, you know, it's the least revenue grossing. It's the least, it has the least salary cap and the least contracts. So you see, like, all these NBA players, you know, I'm not sure what the exact numbers are, but Curry has an incredible contract.
60, I think.
And while, like, and he's not, you know, the great, he's really good, but he's not on top of the league. You know, you could argue, you know, there's still a handful of players ahead of him. But you think, like, McDavid, who is hands down the greatest player in hockey, I think 12, 13. You know, so Steph Curry is making, you know, five times the amount than McDavid.
Exactly.
And they're both all-stars, just ones in a different league.
In the NBA, that's like a rotation eighth man
yeah.
contract.
That's a trivia question.
Yeah.
I know NFL contracts are always big, and MLB contracts, of course, are very big with a no cap. So it's
interesting. Think MLB is really interesting because I remember seeing graphics where, like, say, like, Otani, like, for example, his contract, like, for 1 year, his the pay he has for his contract is, like, more than the entire Detroit Tigers playoff roster combined, which is absurd.
I'm just seeing here, Bronny James, a four-year contract, almost $8 million.
What?
Yeah,
man,
almost $8 million
per year or total?
Pretty sure it's total.
So it's $2 million a year.
Yeah, base salaries, just over $1 million.
And no, like NHL rookies, I think like all have to get signed to entry-level deals, which are all like $750K.
Wow,
$775K.
That's crazy. Yeah, I think the one that's been growing the most recently, I'd say, is basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
I'd agree, like, especially over the past maybe 10 years or so.
NBA's because really I think they've seen just like so much revenue growth that the cap is like just increasing at like such a high rate.
Yeah, I think of all this, of the big four, I think NBA, especially over again past 10, 15 years, the cap's increased, the revenue's increased, the marketing's increased. They've definitely had the most growth. And you see basketball spreading internationally. Of course, you saw at the Olympics, you know, the incredible teams, like the French put out a great team too, and all these great nations. Basketball's really grown internationally in ways that
they've done a great job.
Exactly, yeah.
Hockey hasn't. Baseball hasn't really. Of course,
I think
they're
probably
big,
just the same, like as it's been.
Yeah, I would say because like historically, like Japan's always been a big baseball team. Like,
Dominican.
Yeah, in the Central American countries, but no, like other. That's always been how it's kind of been.
They haven't branched out from those those audiences.
So yeah, basketball, and again, I think it goes back to the marketing standpoint and like the drama and the pathos and the personality they have and they've really leaned into that in a way.
The rivalries and all that.
Yeah, and you know, rivalries. We saw like the mid 2010s, it was Curry versus LeBron.
Yeah.
Right?
Cavs versus Warriors.
Exactly. Dynasty versus dynasty. And they leaned into it and they promoted it, right?
They did a great job with
it. In a way that I think other sports leagues are hesitant to, but I don't know why you'd be hesitant to it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what like sports to me is like a big soap opera that like, just keeps going, you know?
Yeah, like that's a live pure marketing right there.
Yeah, I think maybe they view sports as sports, but especially nowadays, sports, like it's athletic performance, but it's also entertainment.
It's a story,
It's a story, it's a play, it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And NBA has leaned into that entertainment. And especially now with like digital media and rise of, you know, global digital mediums and social media and all that stuff, you know, it's more than ever you need to lean into the entertainment side to draw people to your product.
Yeah. What are some like big storylines that the league, like different leagues, are like cooking up right now? Like, what would you think?
Good question.
I mean, MLB just had, of course, the 50-50 club with Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Of course, they all said he joined the 50-50 club. He was like the first member. Yeah. He founded the club. Who else is he joining? There's no one there. It's an empty room. Of course, 50-50 club, the 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. And I think he went to like 52-52 or something like that.
He did.
So that was a good storyline from MLB. And of course, Ohtani is just an absurd 5 years past or ever since he joined the league. It's just been actually inhuman. It's been wild, of course. The NFL, of course, lies now not anymore. He's an analyst now. But the past, like, I remember growing up through high school, every year it always seemed Tom Brady was still the focus. Yeah. At 40 years old, he was still, is he doing for one more year? He's getting one more ring, and he just keeps going. So I remember through high school, he didn't stop winning.
Yeah. Keeps winning. Went to a new team, keeps winning.
And, of course, the NHL, of course, again, NHL, least revenue grossing, least, you know, they still make profit and they're still a major sport, but they're way below in compares to MLB, NFL, NBA. And I think what's with them, it's a struggle because hockey is a very, reserved sport, I guess. They haven't really been able to market a lot of good players because they have the personality of a piece of wood. Because it's just like hockey is it's a proper sport, a lot of tradition behind it. Where basketball, you have these like colorful characters. Yeah, NFL, you have smack talking and all that. And NHL, there's a lot of, chirping going on. But outside of the rink, you're supposed to be very calm, very respected, very well spoken, very proper. You're always supposed to wear a suit to every game. It's kind of bathed in tradition and very you know, apprehensive to personality, which I think it needs, mm-hmm. especially if they're trying to grow. But NFL, NBA, MLB too, they're much more willing to let their players kind of, and you know, there's less, you know, they have history of showmanship in a way mm-hmm. the NHL doesn't.
Yeah. Like whenever there's like hockey interviews, like in between periods, whenever I see them, it's like they have like voice lines.
It's a script,
yeah.
I swear.
Yeah, like, well, oh, what do you need to do this next piece? Oh, we just got to chase the puck.
Pucks in deep. Traffic exactly. in front. Uh-huh. Rely on a goaltender. He's been playing uh-huh. a great game so far. We got to do an extra strong 40 here for the boys. you know, really, you know, all these mm-hmm. cliches. They yeah. never deviate from it.
Those
it's like,
phrases.
Ah.
Key phrases.
Like your monotone.
I know, and they're always very just like they almost look like sad to be there. Mm-hmm. There's very just frowning, and there's and like 30-second interviews at max. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you go to like an NBA press conference mm-hmm. yeah. post game, yeah. and it's like it's
there's
part
so
of the
many,
entertainment.
Like, yeah. Iconic moments.
It's just clip so after clip after clip.
Practice. Yeah. We're talking about practice. I've never heard a hockey player say
no.
that. Never heard a hockey player say that.
No, it's the players are part of the entertainment exactly. in a way that like hockey. Like if you weren't raised with hockey. You're not going to go out of way to watch hockey. They're struggling to make new fans because the new fans nowadays, our generation, we're interested in the attention grabbing. We're interested in social media impressions. We're interested in personality in a way they just don't offer and they haven't been offering for a while.
That's true. Yeah. Another thing, like, with the entertainment of the game is, like, I think the game is always more fun when you have villains.
You need a good use
villain.
A professional wrestling term. You need a baby face yeah. and you need a heel.
You need a heel.
Mm-hmm. You need to build that drama. Mm-hmm. You need a villain. You need an underdog.
Exactly.
Underdog stories
yeah.
are what you need. Mm-hmm. But if you just rely on fans to watch it mm-hmm. because it's what like they like watching, it's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, you need more than that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to expect people just randomly channel surfing to click on yeah. the NHL game. Mm-hmm. Without a reason, but you might click on a random NBA game because you saw it over social media. You know the two mega stars are pitting against each other. You know that even the analysts of the NBA have personality.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. They're all characters. Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. Former players to go as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're famous players who have a kind of a brand already behind them. Mm-hmm. So putting them behind the desk just keeps those fans yeah. around.
I also want to say like a lot of cocky personalities. As well yeah. As for sure. Specifically NBA, for example. I don't know, like Anthony Edwards. You've seen that too.
Yeah. The interviews, like, oh, what other sports can you play? I'll play anything.
Like I was number one in baseball. Yeah. Like the guy can do it all.
Remember like the Lonzo Ball interviews?
Yeah.
And LeVar.
Yeah.
LeVar
Ball.
He wasn't even a player and he's like a basketball character. You
I know, right?
Yeah. Like the Paul Heyman.
Yeah, exactly,
of,
right?
NBA.
The wise man. And like, you know, in all the analysts of NBA and like, especially American TV, maybe because NHL is like Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like Canadian based. Mm-hmm. Because Canadians, I guess, a bit more reserved. Like Americans and in American TV and analysts are all very sensationalized and all very dramatic.
Yeah.
So it translates to sports too. And like, you know, agree or disagree with them. I love watching Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
He's absolutely just funny.
It's entertainment.
I might disagree with a lot of his points, mm-hmm. but he's just funny and he's entertaining and he's mm-hmm. a character. And yeah, I think that's just like maybe American and the American mm-hmm. culture is just more welcoming to mm-hmm. divisive personalities. Whereas Canadians and Canadian-based leagues aren't. Maybe that's a grander statement on Canadian culture in general.
It's
I don't know.
More like reserved, I would say. Yeah. For Canadians, yeah.
Yeah, you get those iconic moments when they're really like letting their hair down and just like yelling at each other. Like,
yeah.
I remember I really miss the Shannon Sharp and what's his name that he did the show with?
I'm trying to remember.
I'm drawing a blank, but when he's just slamming the table, saying, Shannon, it's my turn. It's my turn to talk. That's like, it's those moments that like really entertain us. It's not the takes that we're there for. It's like to be entertained.
It's the personalities.
It's the personalities.
Yeah, it's and they still deliver.
Skip Bayless is his name.
Skip Bayless.
Oh,
Skip Bayless. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I
don't know why
we
all forgot that. Yeah. But yeah, it's not even the essential because they're still analysts. They still analyze the game. They still mm-hmm. provide stats yeah. and all that. But it's in their delivery.
Yeah,
deliverance
exactly.
of those that mm-hmm. that makes entertaining. And again, NBA has been the figurehead of that. NFL mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
NCAA, you have Pat McAfee on there,
yeah.
changing the game almost mm-hmm. With his show,
his podcast.
MLB is again a bit more. I don't watch too much. I watch the Jays game, but that's about my experience in the MLB. But you know, they still have personalities. The MLB is also like baseball, which is a you know, it's America's national pastime, not America's national sport, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a bit more laid back, and mm-hmm. like it's a lot of stoppage of plays and stuff like that, which allows players to be a bit more colorful too, mm-hmm. in a way yep. that kind of hockey doesn't. So I don't know, like, what do you? It's tough with NHL, because I'm sure they've tried to market some of their players. Yeah. It's just that they come into the league already monotonous. It's like, it's tough to try to make them more colorful when they're yeah. not experienced with it, and they've been through the, you know, the hockey system in Canada mm-hmm. for 18 years, which kind of shrouds any personality to keep it in the dressing room. Don't let anyone know you're respectful and all that stuff. So I don't know what they're going to do. Of course, they're still like revenue growth. They're not in danger or anything. But in terms of marketing, they are quite behind the other of the big four.
Also is there? Yeah. Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like, for example, like NBA, especially the Toronto Raptors, actually, for marketing, 30th anniversary season as well for them this season as well.
Oh, wow.
And they're also retiring Vince Carter's jersey, the number 15. Yes. And they're also bringing back the old purple jerseys as well. Yeah. They used to wear back.
So do they have like the dino on it?
The dino one, though, they actually released a white one back at a 25th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
That was the season Raptor Championship. And this one, since it's the purple one, I actually pre-ordered it, actually.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's actually great to see, you know, Vince Carter. Personally, I think...
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, how do you
feel? After the way I saw Toronto treat him, I wasn't born, but I've seen it. I think it was well-deserved, personally. The retirement? The retirement of the jersey as well. It's a little bittersweet moment, I would mm-hmm. say, you know? After seeing the fans treat him like that and his returns to Toronto as well, specifically when he's on the Grizzlies, I remember seeing him tear up back in his return.
Yeah.
You know, fans clapping for him as well. But I also think, you know, Kyle Lowry's retirement is also well expected pretty soon as well.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I think Kyle Lowry's the only, like, consensus retirement for the Raptors.
Yeah.
That's like a non-negotiable.
That's the non-negotiable. Everyone can agree on that.
I was reading the paper a couple of days ago because I'm an old man. And... Yeah, that's the sports columnist there. Yeah, he was against retirement of Carter's jersey.
Fair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but yeah, that's also fair. I'm for it, but like, I wasn't around really when all that drama happened, so I can't really comment on it. But I was around for Lowry, mm-hmm. so I'm like, yeah, retire his number. That makes sense. He was a cornerstone of the franchise through bad, and then eventually through good.
And that championship as well is well awaited. He was a key part, actually.
Definitely.
You know, I know everyone says Kawhi Leonard. You know, of course, the club after DeMar DeRozan actually left. You know, it's Kawhi Leonard, but. Kyle Lowry, star point guard, you know, he put a lot of the effort in. It was built throughout the years, that whole program.
Yeah, and it was built around him.
It was built around him, yeah, exactly. And honestly, like, yeah, DeMar DeRozan also should be up there. You know, it was a little bit of a mixed feelings about it, not going to lie, the way things ended between those two. I feel bad
for him because he wanted to be here.
He wanted to be here, but at the end of the day, you know, sports is just a business. You know, not only for NBA, you know, NHL, NFL as well, you know. And that's how the story goes for most of these players.
Yeah, it's all a business. And, you know, as fans, we always try to be, you know, we get sentimental and emotional about sports, but it's also a business. We can't forget that. And they're trying to make money and try to draw fans in and try to make splashes mm-hmm. and try to generate money. That's the purpose of why they own the teams.
Exactly.
So it's tough being a fan when, like, fan favorites go. They're like, no, watch trading. He was so good. He wanted mm-hmm. to be here. It's like, it's also, you know, the bottom line, I guess.
I think, like, it's a little bit extra with Kyle and DeMar, especially with DeMar getting traded. Why we're so sentimental about it is because in the NBA, free agents, like, usually don't choose to come to Toronto, right? And DeRozan and Lowry were actually, like, the first, like, actual, like, all-stars that chose to resign,
that chose to
stay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, T-Mac chose to leave. Vince Carter chose to leave. Bosch chose to leave. Mm. It was the first time that... They wanted, like, a star wanted to be in Toronto. Like, once their contract is up, they decided, like, themselves to come back.
I remember, like, Masai Ujiri promised DeMar that, you know, you won't get traded that season in the 1890 season. And then
the betrayal.
Oops. A day later, you see that. And what's funny is that also my cousin, he bought DeMar DeRozan jersey the day before he got traded.
Oh, man. That's
very last minute.
Did he keep the receipt?
No. No. He got us a gift, and he was just like, damn, like, I really just missed out. And I was like, I was shocked. Tough. I was shocked. I was just like, you know, see a franchise guy and then to see him go to San Antonio. But I mean, at least he got a championship, you know?
Yeah. He still got that.
That's always the end goal, you know?
That was the gamble.
Yeah.
And it paid off.
I mean, that's the gamble, you know, any team would want to take, not only for NBA, NFL, NHL, you know, with these superstars as well. You know, possibly making that big move mm-hmm. can make such a big difference. Yeah. And you've seen that in 2019, and you've seen that across major leagues as well.
Because at the end of the day, like, a championship, that's the ultimate goal. Like, is a finals appearance enough? Is a conference finals appearance enough? No, you want the championship.
No, and they don't make it. I know, it's always interesting to see, like, you know, again, it's always, you know, the online fans or random people you talk to and watching these games. It's all, you know, they talk about how these athletes, you know, maybe they don't want to win a championship. Maybe they're just in it for the money. Exactly. Maybe they don't want it. It's like, what are you, like, they're all, mm-hmm. You don't make it to professional leagues without devoting your life to the sport. You don't make professional leagues if you don't want it all. Yeah. So the idea that some people don't want it is a bit absurd. So it's always nice to see when players who do want it get it. Mm-hmm. All players want it. But, you know, seeing DeRozan get that was good because you could tell he wanted it through his effort.
It's always like that mentality, you know, like, I got to accomplish something once to make to the league, or like, I got to do the next thing. Like, I need to make a name for myself. It's like that mentality keeps players going.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a couple minutes left here on the sports show. It's been a good discussion so far. Of course, talking about the NBA, Danny Green recently.
Retired.
Green, yeah. Three championships, right?
Three championships with three different teams.
That's pretty good.
It's one of four players, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
One of four. So he's writing his name in the record books, I guess.
More rings than Chris Paul.
More rings than Chris Paul.
That's rough. That was upsetting when he lost the
finals. I mean, we'll see about that, you know, on San Antonio.
Does he have 3 years left?
I mean,
no comment. of course, and just to wrap up things here, of course, the MLB. Where am I here? I'm trying to scroll back here. What day is it today? October 11th.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, there's a game tonight. Of course, the NL Division Series. Of course, that's the Padres versus the Dodgers. Game 5 series tied 2-2. The winner of that goes on to face the Mets. And of course, the ALDS, the American League Division Series. Between the Tigers and the Guardians, also Game 5. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, that's Tigers and the Guardians. A winner take all to move on to face the Yankees. And, of course, bring it back to Laurier Sports. Tonight, it's the men's football team down in Windsor. I think that's a 7 p.m. start. And then also 7 p.m. here in Waterloo Region at the beautiful Waterloo Memorial Recreational Complex with Zach on the call.
That's right.
Good luck, Zach, for his first commentary call. Judging by the way he does the show, he'll be very good at it, so tune into that. That's a 7 p.m. start at the Rec Complex. That's Women's Hockey home opener and first game of the regular season there against also the Windsor Lancers. So the men's football in Windsor taking on Windsor, women's hockey in Waterloo also taking on Windsor. Locally, the OHL Rangers, of course, the Kitchener Rangers, the Tri-Cities OHL team. They play tonight at 7 o'clock, of course. Of course, that's not in Kitchener, unfortunately. That's up in the Sioux, deep in the heart of the Sioux, Sioux St. Marie. That's a six-hour drive, so don't think you got time if you made the drive now. But you can watch it, of course, on local stations, local radio, and I think Rogers carries OHL games. Rogers is everywhere in the sports world nowadays. I think that's all I wanted to end off with. Make sure to catch the women's ice hockey opener with Zach tonight, 7 p.m. We'll be streaming that on RadioLaurier.com, and also you can catch it in a beautiful video format streamed on OUA TV. Anything you guys want to add to the end?
That's all. I also want to say, you know, big day for NBA actually today as well. You know, just tune in for 76ers against Timberwolves today at 7. Raptors again today, you know, against the Wizards, 7 o'clock today. Nice. You know, a bunch of games today as well. Pistons, Kings, Warriors, Clippers.
You're a basketball fan. There's a lot of material for you tonight.
A lot of material there for today. So.
Zach, anything you want to add?
Fly, Golden Hawks, fly.
Add a B, of course. Catch the number one nationally ranked Golden Hawks men's football program in action tonight, 7 p.m. on OU TV, facing the Windsor Lancers, who are also nationally ranked at number 6. So it'll be a good football game tonight. And with that, we'll finish off here. Thanks to Zach and Kevin for joining me on this desk. Thank you for listening on this crisp Friday afternoon. This is the last episode before Reading Week next week. There won't be an episode of Golden Bold, so if you're a loyal listener, there will not be an episode next week. But we'll turn the week after that. So until then, thanks for listening, and have a good night.